love you. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you, guys. Wow. Wow, wow. That was so good, Bailey. You preached really well. And well, it's good to be back in church. This is my first Sunday at Bethel of 2018. I was at a Sunday service last week, but somewhere else. And actually, it was my first time speaking for this particular church. And when you show up to another church and you're wanting to speak there for the first time, how many know you're sort of wanting to be on your best behavior? Because first impressions and all that kind of stuff. Problem was, it was my first Sunday service for 2018, and the worship was amazing. And then I ended up having this encounter in the worship, and I ended up a crumpled heap on the floor in the worship. And then they called me up, but my legs didn't work, and I couldn't speak properly. Fortunately, I had my wife with me, and I was able to get her to help me out whilst I recovered on the front seat. But it was a good start to 2018 for me. And it's just so good to be here. And I've been missing you guys, and so good to see your faces. Oh, my goodness. It is really good to be back here. And it's great to see you, Tim. Oh, my goodness. I'm seeing Wayne and Janine Thomas over there. Great seeing you guys. And just seeing some friends that have come from different places. Got Gisborne in the house. Good to see you guys. So good to have you here. And you're looking good. And who's feeling at least mildly refreshed from a little bit of a holiday? Who got a break? Who got to go to the beach? Who got to breathe and enjoy some fish? Anyone catch any large fish? Anyone? Yes! She's like, I, and then she's gone like this. That's not a large fish. That's throw that thing back. Anyone catch any waves? Get any surfing done? Yes, we got a few surfers getting some good waves. Who had some good time with friends? Good stuff. Well, it is really, really, really good to be back in the house today. And just the worship was, I was loving experiencing God's good pleasure, waves of his pleasure washing over me as we were worshiping together in the house of the Lord this morning. And so just so good to be here. Well, I am still officially on holiday. And I have one more week, so this is like a holiday message. So I've been trying to the best of my ability to not feel any stress or any pressure about preaching this morning. And it failed miserably, but nonetheless, it's like, oh my goodness, on holiday, and then whoa, rude shock. But let me just start by an opening statement that I know that you will love, and that is this. I love control. I just love control. It's maybe you're thinking that's a confession. Eddie's making a confession. He loves. I love control. So you're looking at me like you're laughing. Like he's not really. Is he really? I actually love. I think God loves control. I think God loves control. And where's the amens? The quiet church. I think God loves control because let's think about it. God wants to create the stars and the sun and the planets and the universe. He chooses to do that, and then he is able to control himself to do it, as opposed to staying up late watching movies, maybe scrolling through Facebook and eating too much chocolate. Yeah, God takes this wonderful godly attribute of control and applies it to himself and is able to do what he sets out to do. I love the gift, this fruit of the spirit of control when it is aimed at myself. Because I can step out of being that Romans chapter 7 man, you know, the man that says, that which I will to do, I can't do it. And that which I will not to do, the stuff I don't want to do, oh my goodness, I end up doing it. Who's read Romans chapter 7? With this gift of control, when I aim it at myself, that's called self-control, I can step from that Romans 7 man into the Romans 8 man, who is more than a conqueror. And rather have circumstances and things conquer me, I can choose now with this gift of powerful self-control to do what I set out to do, to set after the goals, to conquer the thing I want to conquer, and I can be more than a conqueror. I love control. Some people pray, oh, Holy Spirit, just control me, just control me. Holy Spirit, we want you to control me. But the fruit of the Spirit is self-control. So the more we have the Holy Spirit, the more he enables you to be able to control yourself so that when he asks you to do something, guess what? You can take this fruit of control and you can do it. That's called obedience. And that's called not shirking your spiritual responsibilities and putting it onto the Spirit. So, with this great gift of control, I can, now that I'm a father of three beautiful children, often if I want to go surfing, I have tight time frames as set by my wife. And so when I'm driving out to Ocean's Beach and that camper van pulls out in front of me and I'm trying to get to Ocean's Beach and I've got a tight time frame and I know that the surf is pumping, I can take this beautiful gift of control and not point them to Jesus and honk the horn, give them the one-way Jesus salute. But I can step into, probably actually to make a confession before you, my least favorite fruit of the Spirit, patience. I don't like patience, but I like self-control. And so with self-control, I can make a decision and follow through on it. I can do what I want to do. And there's a scripture in Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, where Jesus is saying, where Paul is saying, it is for freedom, listen to this, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. The reason Christ has set you free is so that you can be free. Come on. Full stop. Get happy about that one. But you're not really free if you don't have an ability to be able to make powerful decisions that you can use self-control to follow through on. So you cannot be free without this fruit of self-control. I'm not having a message on self-control, by the way. I'm going to get somewhere. Louis, like, thank goodness he's not preaching on self-control fully. But freedom is the ability for you to actually be able to make real choices and follow through on those real choices. And use control. Now, control is this beautiful gift. It's never been designed for you to use it on others. God never created us to have power and control to use control on others. It's designed only for ourselves. So, Another way of looking at freedom is this ability to actually be able to follow through on my choices, my powerful choices. Another way of thinking of freedom you have on the inside is an internal power that you have on the inside of you where you truly are powerful. And so that you can powerfully choose. You can powerfully choose to align your life with the dream that the Father has for you, and you can move out in that. Each of us in this room has an ability to powerfully choose. We have an internal power on the inside of us so that we can actually powerfully be free. I want us to think for a second about David's men. You would have thought that David's men would have awoken to the fact that they were mighty men when they were in the palace. Because on the walls of the palace would have been the paintings of their victory marches. On the walls of the palace would be the gold and the ornaments and the gemstones and the wealth from the nations that they have conquered, testifying to the fact that they are mighty. There would have been bards and singers in the palace singing of the songs of their victory. Wealth and the armor of conquered kings would have been on display. There's another king, another nation that we have conquered because we are mighty. I would have expected that David's men would have awoken to the fact that they were powerful in the palace, because on the walls of the palace and in the palace, everything is shouting externally to them, look, you're mighty. Look how powerful we are. Awaken to your power. However, I find it very interesting that they did not awaken to the fact that they were mighty in the palace. Where did they awaken to the fact that they were, when were they first called mighty men? They awoke to the fact that they were mighty. They were first called the mighty men in the cave season of their lives. They walked into the cave dragging their heels, shoulders down, sour look on their faces. Defeated. In debt. Distressed. Discontented. Into the cave. But somewhere in the cave season, they awoke to the fact that they were mighty. They emerged from the cave, shoulders back, confident, glistening with the hope for better days, filled with the dreams of God, believing God for great things. They emerged so much different than how they entered. So quiet. Nothing in the cave was speaking to them of their might. The walls on the cave didn't have the paintings of the victory, right? The walls on the cave were covered in bat poop. And they were hard and moldy and damp. And there was nothing on the walls. It was just dark. Nothing externally is speaking to them, you're mighty, right? In the cave. Inside job. Power is an inside job. Power is an inside job. You don't do mighty things and then all of a sudden you're a mighty man. No. You're a mighty man, you're a mighty woman, and then you do mighty things. Might is a spirit. Isaiah 11, chapter 2, talks about the Spirit of the Lord. And one of the spirits that the Holy Spirit comes on is the spirit of might. And a spirit works within a person, Holy Spirit I'm talking about here, and puts might in on the inside of us. And I want to speak to this internal sense of power, internal sense of might, because the person that walks with a sense on the inside of them, I'm powerful, I'm internally powerful, is going to walk with their shoulders back and with more confidence throughout their day-to-day than the person who's not aware of the fact that they are mighty. But it's an inside job, and I want to speak to that this morning, and I want to release a revelation that the Spirit's been speaking to me about that I pray would click into your heart. I'm going to transfer something this morning so you would awaken to the power of God on the inside of you and realize whose image you have been created in this morning. So, by the way, if you're in a cave season or you've been in a cave season, the cave season for David's men was the season of their steepest growth curve. They went from in debt, distressed, discontented to mighty. How many know that is a great growth? And that was their greatest growth season. If you're in a cave season, you're in your greatest season of growth. If you've just emerged from a cave season and you were to look back over your cave season, you would see, oh my goodness, look how much I have grown. But it's something on the inside. Something on the inside. Right? Ephesians confirms to us that might is an inside job. Listen to Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. Speaking about the Father, Paul is praying that the Father would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit. Where? The Father would strengthen you with might by his Spirit. Where? In your inner man. In your inner person, in your inside world, that might would be there. So I want to speak on this today. I want to release a key verse that the Holy Spirit's been talking to me about. And that actually has been arresting my heart just over the last few weeks while I've been on holiday. And my prayer is that this verse will arrest your heart too. You ready for it? John, chapter 10. Bible's open. We've got some pretend flipping happening here on the front. Is that flipping by faith? Prophetic acts. So here's my key verse for the day. It's John, chapter 10. It's verse 18. I'll start in verse 17. Jesus is speaking. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I laid down my life so that I may take it again. Verse 18. No one has taken it away from me. Speaking of his life. No one has taken, say taken. My, say taken. I want to make sure you guys are with me here. No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father. Lock that verse into your mind. I'm going to go back there. But I want you to think about this thought. There were three crosses on Calvary Hill that day 2,000 years ago. There were three crosses. On each of those three crosses, each of those three people on those crosses, they looked very similar. Now, one had more blood, one had a little sign and a crown of thorns. But really, on the outside, all three of those crosses outwardly looked the same. It looked like three criminals outwardly on a cross. It looked like three victims outwardly on a cross. Yet only one of those three crosses is to this day bringing transformation into the world. Come on, are you with me? Only one of the three crosses that outwardly look very similar is a cross that is changing the world. Now, two of those crosses, let's put it like this. On one of the crosses was a man who powerfully chose to be on that cross. It was an internal decision. No one takes my life from me. I choose to lay it down. No one takes life from me. I powerfully choose within myself to give my life away. And it is that cross that is to this day changing the world. Outwardly, all of those crosses almost look identical. And you could be forgiven at first glance for thinking there is no difference on each of these crosses, yet might is an inside job. And one person with the power of the Spirit on the inside of them in alignment with the Father chose to be there. One person happened to the cross. The other two people, the cross happened to them. That felt good saying that. I can feel the Holy Spirit on that. I'm going to say it again because I felt the anointing and I really like the feeling of the anointing. I really do. One person happened to the cross. The other two, the cross happened to them. As we go through life, are you happening to life or is life happening to you? Because the Christ life is a life that is not taken from him, but that he, within himself, with this gift of self-control and the power on the inside of him by the Spirit, powerfully chooses to give away. Outwardly, they can look identical. Inwardly, oh my goodness, everything changes. The person who feels like life is being taken from them, they're going to feel pretty soon sucked dry. They're going to feel pretty soon like I'm being used. But the person who, even though the outward works might look exactly the same, but rather than having life taken from them, is choosing to give it away through their powerful choice, is going to feel the joy of giving that God has given them to be able to experience. You getting this? No one takes my life from me. I choose to give my life away. That means the principalities and the powers, the demonic forces. That means Satan himself. That means the Pharisees, the Romans. Not one single person or one single thing took any of the life of Christ away. And I'm not even talking about an ounce. There was not an ounce of Christ's life that was taken. Not even 1%. 0% of Christ's life was taken. 100% of his life was given. How are you living your life? Is it feeling like life's being taken? Or are you getting to powerfully choose to give your life? It makes all the difference. Remember, only one cross changed the world. Yeah. And then when you're living this way, you're living the Christ life. If you feel like someone or something is taking from your life, that they have taken from your life and they've taken something from you, you have not given them the Christ life. And something of your powerful choice has been surrendered or handed away. You guys have gone so quiet. This is, honestly, this is meant to be my holiday message. I should just have done like a Holy Spirit. Should have just done a Holy Spirit whack. Now, not even an ounce of Christ's life was taken. Every ounce, we were taken of the communion blood this morning. None of that blood was taken from Christ. 100% of it was given. Do we live this way in our own lives? Because he is our model for life. I'm a dad. I've got young kids. So I know the wrestling match for this when kids and life being taken from you comes. Dinah, you can relate to me, right? Matt Lansdowne, you can relate to me, right? Bailey, can you? There's a wrestling over, am I giving life or is it just being taken from me? Tim, do you know what I'm talking about? I think every second day, like, I have to get some clarity on this. Because I get little Noah, my three-year-old. For those of you who don't know Noah, he's the cutest little guy. You'd never expect this from him because he's so cute. But he will walk up to me and the veins begin to pop out of his neck. Looks at me, puts his hands on his hips. Dad, get me a bottle. Dad, get me a bottle now. Get me a bottle now, Dad. I'm like, oh, I have a feeling life could potentially about to be taken from me. So every second day, it's either to Noah or Lake. Eden has got through this. She's 7 now. Lake's 5. He's still got a little bit more to go. There's more often Noah than Lake. Never Eden. But Noah, Dad, give me a bottle now. Nick, vein sticking out. Noah, am I your slave or am I your daddy? Parents, file that. I use it every second day. Noah, am I your slave or am I your daddy? And then he just, you watch his face, he just clicks and he smiles. Daddy, can I please have a bottle? Please. And now, rather than life being taken from me, I get to have the joy of not being a slave to my son, but being his dad, and it's my joy to give life to him. And if it's nighttime, and if Dinah's okay with it, I'll get him a bottle with joy. And I don't let it go until he says, thank you. I hold it to him. Sometimes I'll just be holding it. It's like, trying to pull it off me. He looks up at me. Thanks, Dad. Too right, I'm your dad, not your slave, son. Maybe it's your job and you come home and you say, that just sucked the life out of me. My life was taken from me. Maybe it's that person where you might as well just buy like a blood transfusion kit. Get a needle, get the kit. And when you go see that person, just put it in and just give them your blood. Because they are sucking the life out of you. Now, none of you in this room are like that. For me. Hey? Dinah? Okay. In praying for the sick, by the way, are they taking life from you? Or are you giving of the anointing from your life? Because only one of those ways, outwardly it looks the same, is going to release the healing anointing, because only one of those ways is the Christ life. So I want to just give 4 clues. I want to give a little checklist, actually, a little checklist. If I was you, I'd be taking notes. I want to give 4 little checklists that may be indicating that you've been giving some of your internal power away or that life is being taken from you. So that I want to give these little checklists just to give you a little, maybe a little adjustment wake-up call so that you can make some adjustments and make that internal decision to give life instead of have life taken away from you. So 4 little phrases or little words that can come out of a mouth of someone who's having life taken from them instead of someone that's giving life. Are you ready for this? Some of you get your pens out. Here we go. Number one, made me. They made me do it. They made me do it. They made me do it. Parents of children, I can relate here. I'm on a journey. I'm very quiet. But oh my goodness, they just drove me to my limits. They just took me to the edge. They just wouldn't listen to me, which is code word for they just wouldn't obey me. They just wouldn't obey me. So they made me do it. I gave them a little smack. They made me do it. It's not legal. They made me do it, which is another way of saying all of my power that I had as an adult, I just gave it to that little person, and all responsibility is off my shoulders, and it's all on theirs because they made me do it. No one made you do anything, by the way. No one made you do anything. You actually chose to do it. You chose to do it. So my suggestion would be change. They made me do it to, I choose to do it, or I'm not going to choose that. So that's one little clue. They made me. Does that ever come out of your mouth? They made me do it. Adam and Eve, yeah. Another one. Number two, can't. I can't do that. Now, this one is a tricky one for me because I have a confession to make. I can't has basically been, I have turned into a blatant liar because of I can't. Because, for example, if someone asks to meet with me back a little while ago before I sort of awoke to this, and if I had an appointment on at the same time, I'd say, I can't do that. Sorry, I can't meet with you then. How do we know that that's a load of baloney? I can meet with them. Because I bet you, if Leif Hetland or Bill Johnson said to me, Andy, in 2 weeks, I want to meet with you at such and such a time, and then I look at my calendar and I see that I have a meeting with somebody else, then help me know I'm probably going to change that meeting so that I can meet with them. I can always meet with people. I'm just choosing not to. It's not like I can't. I can. I'm not powerless. You're not powerless. I change it now. Some of you will have received texts from me if you want to meet with me saying, I won't do that time because I have another appointment. Because the reality and the truth is I can. So my suggestion is shift I can't to I won't. Or I choose not to, or I can if you want to. Number three, all right? Number three. Have to. I have to do it. I had to. Have to. Oh, I love this one. Oh, I just have to do it. My child, if you don't do this, I'll have to put you in time out. No, you don't have to put your child in time out. You're choosing to. I have to do the dishes. I have to do the dishes. Look, I just have to do the dishes. No, actually, you don't. You don't have to do the dishes, Mirko. You don't have to do the dishes, man. You don't have to. However, I'm going to tell you why you want to do the dishes. Because if you don't do the dishes, after 2 days, all of your dishes will be used up. Flies will begin to land on your dishes. They will lay eggs. They will hatch into maggots. Maggots will explode out of your kitchen into your lounge where you're sitting there watching TV, eating fish and chips. Or a microwave dinner because you've got no dishes, so you have to be eating fish and chips or a microwave dinner or takeaways. And you'll be trying to eat your dinner with a maggot crawling on your lap. And then you'll realize, oh, actually, I want to do the dishes. But you got to take time to think about it. You actually want to do the dishes. You don't have to do the dishes. You choose to. Maybe it's not just house cleanliness and health that you want to do the dishes. Maybe you want to give the gift of love to your spouse. Aww. So you do the dishes. But the person who has to do the dishes and the person who chooses to do the dishes is going to be a lot happier about doing the dishes. I just have to work. I have to work. The person who has to work compared to the person that has sat down and thought about it for a little while and has realized they want to pay their bills and they want to buy things is going to be a whole lot happier than the person who just, I just have to work. Yeah. Outwardly, they look the same. Inwardly, one is giving, the other is taking, having life taken from them. And the last one, I won't go too long in this. Oh, this is a hard one to get rid of. You guys can keep me accountable on all of these ones. Please keep me accountable. Should. Yeah. I should do that, or I shouldn't do that. Don't you should on yourself? Don't you should on yourself? You shouldn't not sin. How many know, like, I shouldn't do that because I shouldn't sin? Like, how many know, like, you don't shouldn't sin? You know that if you sin, it may cause potential to damage your relationship with your Father. And you love your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And so you powerfully choose to not sin because you don't want to do that. Not because you shouldn't do it. Don't you shit on yourself. It's obligation. Every time you shit on yourself, you're telling yourself, I'm not free. What? What are you guys laughing at? Every time you shit on yourself, you are telling yourself, I'm not free. I'm under an obligation. In other words, I'm a slave. Yeah. We don't do too well as slaves when we are freed sons and daughters. Yeah. So I want you to think about that checklist of four little things. What were they? You made me. I can't. I have to. I should. Has that come out of your mouth in the last week? Has that come out of your mouth this morning? I should go to church. We won't go there. We won't go there. I want to go to church. I choose powerfully within myself. And even if I'm having a tough time, and it's hard around people in this season, I powerfully am choosing to come to church on a Sunday morning. Never I should. If you should, you're shooting on yourself. It's not going to help you. Think about that checklist. So let me close. Let me close. Can I ask for Paul? Can I ask for you, please? Can you jump on the keys for me? Let me read John 10:18 again slowly. I want you to capture the Christ life, an internal life of power on the inside, a spirit of might that we can have. I want you to see this and capture this. I'll read it slowly for this internal shift that actually no casual observer would ever know that you make. John 10:18, Jesus Christ speaking, "No one has taken my life away from me, but I lay it down on my own initiative. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This commandment I received from my Father." Are you turning the other cheek because the scriptures obligate you and you should turn the other cheek? Or are you turning the other cheek because you've settled something in your spirit? I'm going to powerfully give of my life for the purposes of Christ and to see His glory spilled out through my life so that there's been some degree of transformation taking place in the world through me and my partnership and alignment with the Father to see the dream that the Father has of bringing heaven to earth. Are you feeling like life is being taken from you? Maybe, perhaps, a little used? Remember, not one ounce of Jesus' life was taken from Him, and neither is it to be for you. If I'm going to be used, I better have powerfully chosen to be used. So what do I powerfully choose for my life? What do you powerfully choose for your life? Maybe something happened to you that would never have been your choosing, and that is painful, and that does happen. But you do still now have the power to choose how you respond. Maybe someone has taken a lot from you, and you let go of your power to give life and allow them to take from you. And now you're just feeling beat up, sucked dry, fried, powerless, ashamed. I'm telling you, it is time in 2018 to take it back. It is time to take it back. And you can enter into the joy of choosing to give instead. And you can realize that you are a very, very valuable gift, and that the life that God has given you, all of it, is a beautiful gift, and you are a part of that, and you are a valuable gift to the world, and that it is the nature of a gift to want to give. So, subtle heart shift. Let me make an altar call here. I'm going to invite you to stand up. Maybe there are areas in your life where life has been taken from you. You let go of your own power and freedom and self-control that God gave to you as a gift and fruit of the Spirit. And now maybe you're here and maybe you're feeling dry. Maybe you're feeling used up. Maybe you're feeling abused or emotionally drained. Emotionally drained. My altar call is to take it back. Maybe as I was reading out the list of those four phrases, they made me do it. I can't, I have to, I should, I shouldn't. Maybe you realize, oh, that's me. I've been giving away some of this God-gifted power and I need to take it back. So my altar call is for the Spirit of might to come. And yet you would realize that might is an inside job. That you don't become mighty after you've done mighty things, but you do mighty things when you realize that you are mighty on the inside in partnership with the Spirit of might. Close your eyes, please. Wonderful, loving Father, thank you. that we are created in your image. And Lord, when you want to do something, you do it. And Father, when we want to do something, we can do it. And Father, I ask this morning for the spirit of might to awaken on the inside of us. And I ask, Father, that we would live in alignment with John 10, 18, where no one takes life from us, not even a little drop, but rather, Father, we step into the Christ life of giving our lives. In Jesus Christ's name. And as your eyes are closed, I'm going to read the scripture over you of Ephesians chapter 3. I pray to the Father, Ephesians 3:16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Why would we be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner person? Why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have power to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. It's time to take back what has been taken from you. So I want to invite you, if you know that this message is spoken into your heart and there was a conviction of the Spirit or a challenge from the Spirit or something in your heart saying, you know what, I need to have an adjustment in my world, then I'm going to invite the ministry team and we're going to pray for you, for the Spirit of might to come in on the inside, fill you. The Holy Spirit to fill you, for a mindset shift to take place on the inside of you. So if that is you, I want to invite you, just begin to make your way to the front right now. If you were convicted, challenged in any way, you want to receive prayer, our ministry team begins to come to the front too. I want to invite anyone that needs a physical healing in their body. You have sickness, you have disease, pain, anything in your body, I want to invite you to come to the front as well. We love seeing miracles taking place in people's bodies. So I'm going to invite you to just begin to come to the front right now. Holy Spirit, if you can feel the Holy Spirit saying, yep, I need to make some adjustments. Come. Don't be shy. Holy Spirit, living Spirit, it's time to take it back. It's time to take it back. Holy Spirit, shabaraba, shumba bumba. Holy Spirit, need some adjustments. Come on. Holy Spirit, living Spirit, powerful and free, gift of self-control. We're going to pray for people. I'm going to ask Paul to continue to play on the piano. We're going to officially close the service right there. For those of you that would not like to receive prayer, you're choosing to not receive prayer, then tea and coffee is at the back. Invite someone out to lunch. It's been a great joy to come on my holiday and speak to you this morning. Love you. God bless you. Can't wait to see more of you. Have an amazing and victorious week. Amen.